Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I'm back out on Jim Caldwell.
You what?
I'm back off Jim Caldwell.
Oh, yeah?
Back off of him.
You did some research?
No, it's not even that I did any research on. I mean, listen, I like Jim Caldwell as a person.
That's your favorite way to do it. Did you do any research?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
It's I operate off the gut factor.
The gut.
Okay. And it may not be right. All right. It may not be right.
When I operate off the gut factor, got to go drop a deuce.
Well, there's that too. There is that too. Sometimes that's, and sometimes you feel better after that.
Always feel better, you know, after that.
Typically. No, I was just watching a little clip of Eric Bieniemy being interviewed after the Super Bowl last year, and I'm sorry, but he's 1A, 1B, 1C, 2, 3, 4, and 5, if I'm the Texans.
Really?
When you see, okay, think about the guys you played for in your NFL career, okay? Everybody you played for new football, correct?
Yeah, correct.
All right, like everybody you played for in your in your 14 years in the National Football League knew football, knew it well.
Okay.
All right, because they wouldn't have been a head coach in the National Football League if they weren't.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, you played for a couple Hall of Famers.
Right.
So, but what separated those guys were some guys just had that it factor,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they looked at you and said, you know what? Why don't we take this guy and not only is he our best D lineman, but let's also use him in short yardage situations because of his footwork, because he's got such a high football IQ. Like, we can use this guy in more than one role.
Okay.
Okay. Had never been done before, had it?
Nope.
Okay. Guy is as multi-talented as you are. Nobody had ever done it until Bill Belichick in year 14.
Correct.
Okay. Bill Belichick has the
Foresight
to take a guy who's in his 14th year in the National Football League, and of all the dozens of coaches you'd ever had, nobody had ever thought, let's take number 95 and put him on the offensive side of the ball for a second and see how that turns out.
Right.
I mean, and so certain coaches have it. They just have that ability to look past just the X's and the O's and look at you as a player. And not to say that Jim Caldwell doesn't have that. But when you look at Eric Bieniemy, and when you look at the difference in, say, the Matt Nagy's, the Doug Petersons of the world, when I listen to those guys, when I listen to them talk, and when I listen to the players, I mean, listen, the players all love them, don't really like them, don't get me wrong, but there's just a reverence, and there's just something about a guy like an Eric Bieniemy who started at the bottom, played in the league, knows the ins and the outs, knows the
struggles
of the player, knows the intricacies of the league, knows that it's more about when on the days when the X's and O's aren't popping, what you need to do. When it's a Tom Brady going to a Mike Evans on the side, instead of chewing him out, pulls him aside and says, listen, I need you to step up. And guess what? Mike Evans has had arguably the best stretch of his career
right
in the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's not a coincidence that every time the Chiefs look like they're playing like crap, guess who's the one getting in everybody's ass? It ain't Andy Reid.
No.
Okay? It's Eric Bieniemy. And I'll you know me, I'll always defer to you on this. I just feel like there's something special about a player who can relate, or excuse me, a coach who can relate to the players, but yet you could also, there's that dual-sided factor. You got the X's and O's knowledge. He can break that down to you all day, but then when that's not going well and it's just a matter of you're just not executing, being able to get in a player's ass and say, listen, I need you to step up.
Right.
And I don't think there's a lot of coaches that can do both.
Well, there's a fine line between that and being in the league and have played the game as long as, you know, Bieniemy did.
Yeah.
You know, he knows the approach to it. He knows what's going to motivate a guy or where he can identify more quickly.
Yeah.
Where a guy's head's at than, say, a guy who hadn't played the game.
Right.
Because, you know, you've seen coaches jump in people's face, and what has happened? They've jumped back.
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody jump back at Bieniemy?
I mean, they might jaw with him a little bit, but
they're talking. They're going back and forth.
Exactly.
They're going back and forth. There's nothing physical.
There's
no
nothing hostile about it.
Exactly.
It's just two dudes having a spirited discussion on the sideline.
This is where it's going.
Yeah.
This is what you're not doing, and this is what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm so-and-so. I know that, but this is where, if you want to be successful, this, trust me on this. I mean, I've had coaches do it to me. I've had John Teerlink come to me when I'm having a good game. Guy pops one for about 7 yards. Should have made the play. Pops another one for about 4. Finally make a tackle. We stop him, come off, and he comes to my face. Hank, what the hell are you doing? What? That cut back for 8? I was like, the linebacker. Yeah, you wanted me to be there. He wasn't there. That's on you to make. You can't go up the field on that block. Sit down on it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he's like, no, I need you to sit down. I know you're beating him, but if you stop in your place, the hole's not so big. Now there's not so much on the linebacker.
Yeah.
And being a smart ass that I always am, like, when am I supposed to take care of him? He's back there. He's like, trust me, it's for us. It's for the team. Trust me. Next time I saw the block, sat down on it. Ball cut right back to me. Bang, big play. Guess who everybody held with their slapping?
And it's 97.
It's knowing, and John Teerlink, who's a defensive line coach for me when I was in Minnesota and in Detroit, also played the game. Only played 3 or 4 years, but was in the game.
Yeah.
And knew how to come and say, you know, now relaying that from coach to player, if you have a coach that can do that, especially a head coach, because most of the head coaches never talk to me except Belichick. Belichick would just say, hey, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
And I'd give him my opinion and he'd be like, decent, but we're going to do this. And it usually worked. But Belichick actually on defense actually came and said, hey, what's happening out there? What's going on? Tony Dungy was another guy, but I'd like come off the field and he'd be like, hey, Tony wants you on the phone. What? Oh, okay. Hey, Tony, what's going on? Hank, what's going on out there? You know, that cutback's killing us. And da, 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 da. I'm like, and you know me, I'm balling. Then Tony he never cracked a smile or I could never hear him giggle or anything like that. And he'd always say, well, what's going on? And I was the type of player that could tell him what the blocking scheme was based on how they were blocking me.
Yeah.
You know, and we can, and Belichick was the same way.
So Pete Carroll never asked you what was going on?
No. Pete? No. Nah. No.
What was Pete worried about when you guys were coming off the field?
I don't know. I think Pete was, he went to.
Because like, you're 4 years in New England. You played 3 years because you played in that 3-year stretch right after Parcells left.
Parcells, right.
So you played 3 years for Pete Carroll, and then the 1 year, you were there for Belichick's first year.
Yeah, right. And Pete, he was more of, and rightly so, a secondary guy.
Like, yeah, that's his shtick.
He would go to the safety, maybe the linebacker. Only time he said anything to me was like, hey, Hank, we need to get some pressure. Gotcha. Let me step all of us up here, coach. Yeah, I'm gonna get those three guys that got me, okay?
We need to step up the pressure, Hank.
That's pretty much what I got from him. But here's what's funny. I played for two offensive head coaches, two defensive head coaches.
Yeah.
The one in the middle, I have no idea.
Who? Wayne Fonts?
Wayne Fonts.
I don't know. He struck me as kind of a special teams kind of guy.
I have no idea what his thing was.
Prior to?
He had, but Wayne had a great grasp of the guys and the game.
See, okay, so he was more of the people side than an X's and O's guy.
What got him, if he was offense or defense. You know what I'm saying?
So let me get this straight. You played under this guy for 2 years, and even to this day, still not sure what side of the ball he fell on.
To be honest, I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you. I don't even know his lineage to get up to there.
So really, in your mind, you don't really know much about Wayne Fonts other than the fact that he was just your head coach for 2 years, and
hell of a guy, I'm telling you.
Don't know what he knew about football, but just knew he was a good dude.
Yeah, just, you know, he had three rules. Don't be late, no bitching, and don't hit Barry. that was his rule.
Don't hit Barry.
Don't hit Barry.
Well, one thing we've learned about Rasputin, he's a simple man.
Yes, sir.
He's a simple man. All right, first segment in the books, boys and girls. Don't forget, we got Brum Man coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We got haikus going down in the 10 o'clock hour as well. Subjects are as followed, topics, whatever you want to call them. 2020 COVID, BOB Texans, and then, of course, a good old miscellaneous. So we'll probably do that probably around 10:30, give or take. So get your minds right for that. So coming up next, what team has a more attractive position than the Houston Texans when it comes to head coaching availability in 2021? I don't think there's anybody. Henry might have a different opinion. What say you? 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere. It's ESPN
97.5. Thought myself to death. I was born without this fear. Now only this seems clear.
I need to move. I need to fight. I need to. Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I tell you what, this Turd Ferguson from a couple days ago, and we didn't get to it yesterday, the gentleman who... I can't remember if he was a Bleacher Report writer. And John, I saw it on your Twitter, actually. The Bleacher Report guy who said that Deshaun was not a top five quarterback and went on video and just rambled for like 2 minutes about how good quarterbacks win games.
It's time to admit that Deshaun Watson is not as good as we think he is.
Yeah.
I'll go first. Yeah, that was the name of the article. I don't remember his name. I'll get it for you. But, yeah, I vehemently disagreed.
Well, it's just it is asinine. I mean, I don't know, and you know, not to give this guy too much credit, but I just don't know how you can look at what the body of work that Deshaun Watson did in 2020 and with the pieces he's had around him, the adversity that's gone on around this football team this year, losing your number one option, basically, and again, and we get it, you know, there was with COVID and everything and trying to implement new pieces. I mean, it literally took them five or, you know, and then on top of implementing new pieces, you're doing that, and then you fire your head coach four games into the season. So now you've modified your offensive system even more so, going from Bill O'Brien to Tim Kelly, because I think you and I both agree that Tim Kelly's input in the offense was minimal prior to Bill O'Brien leaving. And I think the difference in the offense shows that.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen it because, like we said in the past, this team scores points with the minimal amount of people. Other than what, one game, they've scored a pretty good amount of points every game. What is their game per average points? Do anybody know?
For the Houston Texans, yes. I would guess they're probably around the 20-point mark.
25 points?
Yeah, they're somewhere in that ballpark.
And they're in, like we've talked about, most of the games. I mean, they're very close to being one of the top teams in the South. Other than
five games away from it. You're exactly right. I mean,
you can probably chalk them up to what, 10, 15 plays to where they've been?
Give or take, yeah.
I mean, and the reason is Deshaun Watson. Defense hadn't stopped anybody. Reason they're not winning.
You've got the 30th ranked defense and the 17th ranked offense overall in the National Football League. And yards wise passing, fourth best offense in the NFL, 30th rushing defense, or excuse me, offense.
Okay, so your offense is way up here, mid of the roll, and your defense is way back there.
By the way, your defense is also 31st against the run.
Every aspect on this team except for Deshaun Watson was poor.
It's terrible.
I mean, if you look, he had 30 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. I don't know what team doesn't take that.
Exactly.
I don't know
how you can look at what he's done and not consider him an MVP candidate. Like, to me, out of everything that's gone on in 2020 with this football team, whether it's Cal McNair, whether it's his wife, you know, looking like she's half out of it during a football game, Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, I mean, in this sea of insanity that has enveloped this football team in 2020, how you can not look at Deshaun Watson in the midst of all of it. Oh, by the way, he's also completing passes 70%.
Ow.
Okay? He's completing 70% of his passes, and his number one receiver for the majority of the year missed the final five games due to a PED suspension. Your other guy after that, I mean, your top two receivers aren't even 6 feet tall. Like, think about that.
Oh, yes.
In the National Football League, his top two receivers, really his top three receivers, and I think you go top three before you start getting to tight ends.
With Fields and Akins.
Okay. Top three wide receivers this year for the Houston Texans, number yards wise. Number one, Brandon Cooks, who will probably go over 1,000 yards this week. All right. He's got 70 catches for 984 yards. I want to say this will be the fourth team he's gone over 1,000 yards for. All right. And we're becoming fans on the Brandon Cooks fan club.
Has his roles increased and has his visibility on the team has increased? Yes, we've become fans. Because early on we were like, man, where is he at?
It did take a little while for him to get going. But
it also took BLB to be gone. Because remember the first game after he was gone, I mean, those first 20 plays, it was heavy Cooks. I mean, he did a jet sweep.
They threw screens.
They did all they could to find the.
Well, they used him. Liked. They used him like you would have thought they would have used him when you brought him in.
Yeah, after you got rid of D-Hop.
Exactly. Which I tell you what, how scary would have been if you'd have kept D-Hop and still had Brandon Cooks? Because you could have done that. Now, granted, I don't know the number, how the money would have added up, but all right. So Brandon Cooks is your number one receiver. He's going to be your number one receiver when the season's over. Hey, say what you want. If we're gonna dog B.O.B., which we will, you gotta give him, you gotta love him up when he's right. You don't have to love him up, but you at least got to give him a tip of the cap when he's right.
Right about what?
He was right about Brandon Cooks. That was a B.O.B. move.
That's not a right thing. You had nothing else. You were reaching.
Well, I mean, you traded a second round pick for him.
You had to. Well, that's not right. That doesn't make it right. That don't make him right. That was desperation.
Well,
if you
it was
ask
the
me.
Only good pick he. It was. Let's put it this way. It's the only good move he's made. From a pure dollars and cents standpoint. From a pure dollars and cents standpoint. I'll give him. That's all I'm gonna give him is Brandon Cooks, because that actually has worked. That's the one thing he can look at and say, hey, at least I got that right. 70 catches, 984 yards, 14 yards a clip, 4 touchdowns this year. All right. And so again, he's 16 yards away from going over 1,000. So you got to believe he's going to get a heavy dose of Brandon Cooks. So if you're doing some monkey knife fight on Sunday, take the over for Brandon Cooks.
Nope. He only need 30 to, what, 20 yards?
16.
16 yards?
I don't care. Take the over. They're going to feed him. They're going to feed him. Let's see what his
I'm not putting him in my monkey knife fight.
You know what? I'm going to put you in a monkey knife fight. Let's see what his career is right now. Okay, they say he's 5'10", 183. What does that tell you how big he is in real life?
5'9", 5'8".
Okay, he is 220 yards away from a career high. Much in the same vein that Derrick Henry is 234 yards away from going over 2,000.
Well, who's going to be closer to getting there? Their goal.
You're going with this would be, okay, let me ask you this about Brandon Cooks. This would now be the 1, 2, 3, 4 fifth time in 6 years that he's gone over 1,000 yards. Why are we not putting more respect on Brandon Cooks' name?
Hey.
Why are we not putting more respect on 5'9", 183-pound Brandon Cooks' name? My man has gone over 1,000 yards. Provided he does it this Sunday.
Right.
Five times in six years. I don't care who you are. That's pretty damn good.
That's some good numbers.
Those are good numbers. And this will now have been the fourth team he's gone over a grand with.
Yeah. See? And you want me to give BLB credit for that?
Yeah. For making that trade?
At least that's one thing you got right.
He got one thing right. If we're gonna kick him when he's down, and that's easy to do, it's easy to kick B.O.B. when he's down. He stays down. All right. I mean, for a guy that is getting rid of him was the best thing that could have ever. For a guy that pillaged this franchise and was done and was allowed to do so with impunity by Cal McNair,
right?
And Hannah.
Whew.
Hannah, she looks like a good time though. Hannah does, doesn't she?
She like, was sleeping.
To hang out with.
The only time I saw her, she was sleeping.
Tell
so,
me, she
no.
didn't look like she looked like. What was homegirl's name from Bad Boys, the first one?
No way.
Yeah. Hold on. What was her name? The girl from Bad Boys, the first one.
I know the girl you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Kind of raspy voice.
Yeah.
You think Hannah?
Yes. Look at him. Google him.
I'm not Googling him.
JB will.
How does it look?
Look at this guy on the right. On this, how idiotic does he look? I don't even know who he is. Right. Anyway, what's do we know what her name is? We'll come get her name when we come back. Anyway, point is this: shout out to B.O.B. in 2021. Shout out to you for Brandon Cooks.
Is he working in 2021?
Hell you no. Think
you anywhere?
No. Yes, I think he will. I can see him working in 20. He's got to go to college.
Okay.
B.O.B. is going to go to college.
So he was due another year on his contract, right? Didn't he have a 3-year extension?
I think he was due more than that. I think he was due at least two. I think he was due at least a couple years. Yeah.
I think the year before, he got a 3-year extension. So that was that year.
I mean, let's put it
this
way. He's at least due. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say my man's probably got another 5-10 mil coming to him. 5-10 milli.
So you think he goes out and goes to work?
I don't see another NFL team bringing him on board. I just don't see it. Because when you look at what they've done, when you look at how he left this franchise, when you look at the whole Jack Easterby situation, when you look at how he's left this team just utterly devastated from a personnel standpoint.
And you look at the people you brought in. He didn't bring in any older, good name people. He brought in people like you were like, who? What did this guy do? Oh, he was well, at
that's
Boise. Just,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at
so the, he's it, got nobody that's going to bring him in, is what I'm saying. Like a Norv Turner that came in and worked with the defense or the offense, or I don't know, whoever that went and then, or somewhere else and said, hey, this guy got a bum rap, bring him in.
I could see him. I'll tell you what, if Doug Marrone were to get a job, I could see the two of them BFFing it up.
I could see tight. Doug Marrone changing his number. Oh, man, I got a new phone. Nah, I got a new phone.
They're ride or die. No, I think their wives are friends or something like that. They're boys from back in their college days. So speaking of, what team has a better – is there a better team out there to coach in 2021 than the Houston Texans? We'll discuss that next. Don't go anywhere. JB, HT, Freddie D. Houston's ESPN.
97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back in. I'm Henry Thomas. That's Fred Davis. That's JB working the 1s, 2s, and 3s. You are tuning in to the HD show, filling in for The Bench.
Filling in for the
isn't that just backwards?
What's that?
When you're on the bench, then you fill in, right?
Taya Leone is who I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah, I'd have pulled that name out.
Taya Leone is the one I'm thinking of
for
our girl Hannah.
Hannah,
look at the faces. Look at Google Taya Leone. Google Hannah McNair and tell me them broads don't look
good. Okay.
Also, Truckin' Taco on Twitch said he thinks Cal could do better.
Then what?
Hannah McNair? Hey,
you don't know her name's Hannah. She was destined for that. She had to be that Hannah. You don't see no Grammy Hannahs.
Oh, you don't know my cousin. You don't know my cousin. You don't know my cousin, friend.
Sorry, cousin Hannah.
Yeah.
Didn't know you.
She's nothing. She's all the grime you want and then some. Okay? Let's put it this way. I promise you, let Hannah walk in here. You're going to be searching your pockets for your wallet and your phone when you're done.
I'm going to just take my knife out and put it on the counter. Don't reach for me.
I don't know that would stop her. She might put a knife next to yours and say, was that kind of party?
Oh, that's how we doing it? That's how we rolling? Well, I don't know. The only thing I've seen of her, she doesn't look like a good time to me. Just saying.
Not when they're losing.
And all I saw her was sleeping.
No, she looks like, no. See, no, she's the kind, my guess is that when things are going good, oh, she's, you know what she kind of reminds me of, probably?
Probably.
She reminds me of homegirl from Blow. What was her name?
How do you keep coming up with these no names?
I don't know. It's early in the morning still.
It is.
The actress in Blow who was with the Spanish chick who was great with him when everything was going great. And then my man, George Young, as they're driving down the road and she's over there acting a fool in front of the cops, tells them, oh, by the way, we got dope in the car, that kind of stuff. That's just my gut feeling.
So when things going well,
she's ride or die.
And then when it go bad, in my opinion.
Throwing you under the bus. Who was that?
He's like, I ain't looking for that.
Were you talking about Penelope Cruz?
Yes!
I wasn't sure.
How dare you?
Moved on, but.
Yes!
Penelope. Penelope Cruz is a goddess.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with her. I'm just saying that her character in Blow,
the character in Blow
reminds me of what potentially Hannah McNair could be like. Because Taya Leone is just ride or die.
We're just talking about your expectations. We ain't talking about no facts.
I don't know. No. Well, pure conjecture on my part.
I got you. See, I was in a whole nother space. I understand now.
But I mean, look at Cal. But I mean, you know, we keep saying Cal could do better. How do we know? I mean, have we heard Cal talk? We have. I don't think, I mean, it's not like Cal's blowing people's doors off.
Well, usually the bank account speaks for itself.
Oh, no.
Money-wise, he could do better is what they're saying. Oh, they're talking about the gold digger type.
And that's what I'm saying. Hannah might be, you know, Hannah's ride or die. You don't know what Hannah's deal is. Hannah probably comes from money too. All right. I mean, let's call it what it is. Hannah probably came from money too. All right. So it's not, I mean, it ain't like her parents are stretching, you know.
That a special thing come from money?
I don't think
money?
She's making any mayonnaise sandwiches from back in the day.
I mean, I don't know, come from money. Most of us came from sperm, but I'm just saying.
Well, but did you grow up with money being no issue? No.
I didn't know.
But you knew you didn't have a lot of it.
No, didn't know that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Hannah probably knew she had lots of it. There's a difference.
I got you on that one. All right.
Yes. Okay. You knew what you didn't have. She knew what they did have.
I got a mountain bike too. I got a cross training bike. Mine don't say BMX on it.
Exactly. Hers is like, well, what day is it? Let me get one that matches my outfit. That's the difference.
All right, back to what is a more sexier head coaching opportunity coming up in the NFL other than the Houston Texans? Or that's more than the Houston Texans? Because you say this is a hot place to be.
To me, there's when you look at the jobs that are coming open, right? All right, we know the Jets are going to be open. Well, I say we know. I mean, I think we do. There's no way you're bringing Adam Gase back. Yes, they're fighting hard, and you know, kudos to the Jets for not giving up. All right, I mean, the one thing you can say about that football team, as bad as they've been, that team's never quit, and there is something to be said for that. Although you could argue that was what we've been saying about B.O.B. for however long we've been saying it. All right, well, the team's never quit. Well, the team finally quit this year, and you saw. Clearly, you're not trying to hold on to that if you're the New York Jets, but I think we can all agree Adam Gase will be gone when the season's over.
Okay, name all the jobs. We got Texans, Atlanta, Jacksonville.
Again, you got Doug Marrone, who still hasn't been let go yet from the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I think you and I are both in agreement that that's going to happen when the season's over.
Okay, that's three.
Then you've got the Jacksonville, you got Houston, you got the Jets.
You put the Jets in there. Okay, we'll put the Jets in there.
You got to put the Jets in there.
How about the Chargers? Go, Chargers, go. What about them?
Don't forget the Lions and the Falcons.
Okay, we got the Lions. I already had the Falcons in there. What about the Chargers? You saying yay or nay to the Chargers?
Chargers won this past Sunday, did they not?
Yes.
Didn't they beat the Broncos?
Yes.
You're playing the Chiefs on Sunday. Chiefs are going to be resting a lot of guys. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if the Chargers win on Sunday just because it's a throwaway game and Chiefs have nothing to play for and the Chargers are basically playing for their head coach. That would put them at 6-10, if I'm not mistaken, on the year. 6-10 in a year which they blew at least 4 leads. This is a team that was bandied about as a potential threat to the Kansas City Chiefs before the season started to win the AFC West. Again, they looked at times offensively as though they were as good as anybody offensively in the league. You've got a quarterback who came absolutely out of absolutely nowhere to be rookie of the year.
Kind of reminded you of Air Corrier years.
Oh, I mean, hey, if is Don Coryell still alive or is he dead? Do we know? Don, if you're listening, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If he's alive, he's happy. If he's not, I wouldn't say he's rolling over in his grave. Maybe he's rolling over in his grave because he's watching things that he wished he could have done differently. Who knows? All I know is this. Yes, he's smiling wherever he's at, dead or alive. Don Coryell.
Yeah, sorry I brought it up.
By the way, Don Coryell, 6 degrees of Don Coryell. His, you remember John Jefferson? The wide receiver?
Yeah.
You do or you don't?
I don't.
You don't remember?
I shook my head. No, I'm sick.
Well, but you said you first shook it no, and then you said yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe you're right. I did.
And
so
anyway, that's the quickest way to get you to move on is to agree with
not
you.
Not agree. Says a lot about my dating life too. That's what a lot of women do. They just nod and agree. And they just keep going on. Just wear him down ahead of time. That's my philosophy. John Jefferson, former Arizona State grad, former part of Air Coryell. His wife was my teacher in high school. So there you go, D. Jefferson. And her sister was one of the original Dallas Cowgirls.
Okay, can you have me? So we are adding the charges or no?
That's a great question. Right, I'm going to say no.
Right now I have at Texans, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Jets, Lions. Who else is on the hot seat? Chicago was, but
Matt Nagy saved his job. Hell, they went on Sunday. They go to the playoffs, so he's definitely not getting fired. But I think he saved his job. Hell, I think Mitch Trubisky saved his job. I think Mitch Trubisky's coming back next year for the Bears.
Yeah, he'll get a one-year deal somewhere.
He'll get a one-year deal. Now, if he was black, do you think he would? Really? Honest question. Absolutely, really? Yes. I'm throwing that out there. I'm going to be really? That guy this morning, yes.
And he's done what Trubisky did?
Just everything's the same, only he's a brother instead of a white guy.
Well, here's the deal. If he was a brother.
He's Dwayne Trubisky.
Okay. If he was a brother, when they benched him the first time, he wouldn't have not got back out there. They'd have ride it out with the foes. So there, you ask the question, there's your answer.
No, he wouldn't. If Mitch Trubisky was Dwayne Trubisky,
he would. Draymond Trubisky. That's it.
But if a brother's last name was Trubisky.
Bro, you can't say nothing about that. I mean, slavery, America.
You wonder then maybe if he would have gotten a second chance.
No.
The last name Trubisky.
No.
How many brush you know with the last name Trubisky?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's some out there. You could probably look it up. There'll be some bros named Trubisky.
We gotta find a brother named Trubisky.
I need one more team. Four.
I think that's it right now.
One, two, three, four, five. I got five teams.
Because Denver's already said they're bringing back Vic Fangio.
Okay. Denver's all keeping right. their guy.
Vic's. Denver's keeping their guy. I'll tell you who needs to find a new coach. And if we're going to get inflammatory, Vegas.
Ooh.
That would be the. I mean, that's not. Listen, it's not going to happen. We know that already. I mean, he's what, year three into this, and he's got a 10-year, $100 million deal. But yeah, if you wanted to really shake some things up, I would fire John Gruden. John, we said this on Monday, and I'll say this again. John Gruden is the biggest fraud, one of the biggest frauds in the NFL. John Gruden has parlayed, and me and my boy Mike Babbo from our HD show was talking about this the other day because he's a diehard Raiders fan. John Gruden has parlayed a 3-year coaching run into one of the biggest myths and fallacies in the history of the National Football League. Okay. He had a 3-year run where I want to say he went like 11-5, 10-6, one of the two. 12-4 with the Raiders, gets traded to the Bucs, wins that Super Bowl that first year with Dungy's guys, and then never does squat again.
Absolutely.
Okay. In fact, I want to say, and our boy Mike looked this up, after his Super Bowl, 35-41 as a head coach. Ouch. Okay. With the Raiders his first 2 years, 8-8. Okay.
8-8.
What's he done with the Raiders these first 3 years? Other than beat the Chiefs 1 week, what has he done as part of the Vegas franchise to make you think, oh, this team's on the right? This team, him and this guy have this thing running right, and the Raiders are a threat.
We'll come back to that when we get on the other side of the break.
He's Henry. I'm Fred. Don't go anywhere.
This on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Second hour of the program. We're nearing the conclusion of the second hour of the program. Hopefully you guys have had a fantastic Wednesday. We know we certainly have here on the bench. We've had a good week. Hopefully you guys have had two. I mean, listen, man, it's you know, tomorrow's New Year's Eve. John B., you don't strike me as a big going out kind of guy. Where do you stand on New Year's Eve? Kind of any big plans for you tomorrow night? What's our boy John B. getting into?
Oh, no, not really. I'm not a big going out kind of guy, but I'll be here. I'll be here. I'm running some of the games tomorrow, and then I'll be doing actually the overnight on the other side as well. So I'll be working all day.
So you're going to be doing bowl games and whatnot during the day, and then you're going to be doing the Sports Map radio side at night.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
Can't stop, won't stop, John Belmer. Can't stop. Won't
you know, I got to take advantage of all these guys being on vacation, you know, get some hours.
Well, that's it. That's it. Now that, now that everybody's just robbing Best Buy blind, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? What else are you supposed to do? Do you think you're going to parlay this loss control thing into something else? Maybe after when 2021 starts, maybe start looking for a new loss control gig or what?
No, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah. You know,
I did it for 3 years or so. That's about as much as I want to do it.
Done.
I'm here, you know. I'm here. This is my goal. So
this is it. What is the goal for 2021, John?
Honestly, I got to sit down and write it down. I haven't thought much about it. 2020's been.
Let's put it in the universe right now. I want. I want you to put it in the universe right now.
Oh well, I guess the most obvious one's losing weight. It's probably the most important one too. You know.
It absolutely is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
It's been a struggle during 2020. I would say losing weight, and then I would say. You know, I'm part-time here at the station.
So you want to go full-time?
My biggest goal is, yeah, be here full-time, make a career out of this. This is where I want to be.
This is it.
So that's probably my two main goals.
All right. So, Henry, we've gotten our first two goals from John B. Number one, lose weight. Number two, become full-time here at ESPN 97.5. Or Gout Media, because he does both sides.
Right.
He does both the Sports Map and ESPN 97.5.
Okay.
You good with that?
I'm good with that.
What weight loss tips would you give to our boy John B?
Best one ever.
Eat less, work out.
Pushback. Pushbacks is the best thing. That's when you're at the table, you just push back.
How did I know there was going to be some smart ass,
I'm telling you,
ridiculous.
It's just straight. When you want to lose weight, it's straight diet. Cut your calories to, I don't know.
2,000?
1,800.
1,800, okay.
1,800 a day, and you'll be, honor is, all get out, but the way to drop off.
All right, so you're saying, what is your number one issue right now? You just don't eat right?
Yeah, I don't eat right, man. I love food. I mean, I don't eat right.
Ditto.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's hard. Plus, I don't work
who
out a
hates
ton.
Hates food. I've yet to meet the person that hates food.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What's call maybe, his wife hates
I
food?
I mean, maybe a bulimic, but yeah. I mean, other than that, dated one of those ones. It's a whole other story for another show.
I got the other,
anorexic, the ones that don't eat.
I got the reverse.
You know why? I'm still big, like I am. Have you ever heard of Miko's Hot Chicken? That's probably a big reason.
Miko's Hot Chicken?
Miko's Hot Chicken, yeah.
What is
sounds
it?
Great.
Best chicken sandwich in the world, in my opinion.
Really?
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
You're a big guy, so if you're telling me that Miko's Hot Chicken is that good, I mean, I better than Chick-fil-A and Popeye's?
Yeah. Yep.
Where do you get Pico's Hot Chicken at?
Miko's Hot Chicken. Miko's it's in Midtown over here. I'll send you the address.
Okay.
Oh, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Miko's
sure.
Hot Chicken.
Here we come, Miko's.
It's also part of the reason I'm broke, too. Bring your wallet. It's a little pricey, but it's worth it.
Okay. Miko's Hot Chicken. Interesting. Okay. All right. They're surviving during the pandemic is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. They're thriving right now.
Thriving. It goes back to what we said the other day. All right. You're either thriving or barely surviving during this COVID. I mean, literally, there's no in the middle. Everybody's.
I'm in the middle.
What's that?
I'm in the middle.
I'd say you're thriving.
Yeah. Thriving. I thrive no matter what. That's what I do.
Would you not?
Huh?
I'd say you're doing all right. Would you not?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I mean,
what are your goals for 2021?
To see 2022.
What are your goals? I've got an ambitious 2021 goal that I've never done before. But what really? what is your ambitious goal for 2021?
I'm the wrong person. I don't.
No,
do
I don't care. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe that should be the goal. Come up with a goal for 2021. Give me one, just one. Doesn't have to. And it doesn't have to be anything.
Okay,
crazy.
I'll do something crazy. My portfolio that I play with.
Yes.
The one that I play with and the one that I do all my savings with. The one that I play with.
Yeah.
Triple it.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm going to triple your stock portfolio in 2021.
There.
I like it.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. That is a good
one. See, that's not a resolution.
No, we're not doing resolutions in 2021. We're done doing resolutions. As homeboy said the other day, I don't want to be a resolute destitute. All right, ain't none of that going on. We ain't doing resolutions in 2021. I'm done with resolutions.
Never did them.
We're about goals in 2021.
Never did resolutions. Never will.
I got yeah. No. It's
hard to do resolutions when you. I don't know if it's a sociopath or psychopath.
Yeah, probably socio.
I really don't have many regrets.
You've got very sociopathic tendencies. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
There's no doubt about that.
Sociopath?
You've got, I can see that in you.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as a violent guy. I mean, you could be if you need to be. I mean, you're not one of those outwardly. I mean, you don't wear violence on your sleeve, but you could if you need to be.
Pushed to violence.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And here's the bad thing. A lot of times I enjoy it.
Well, that's where the sociopathic comes out in you. By the way,
I catch it in the head.
No, you do. You do. Well, you've been doing this a long time, so yeah. there is something to be said for that. All right.
I think that was a slight on my age. What the?
I mean, there's no... the truth is what it is.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like you're going to be 54 next year.
Oh, to be... Nah.
No, you're I'm good. 54. You're good. All right, those five teams. Texans. Okay.
Texans.
Jags. Jets. Falcons. Lions.
Yes. Which is the sexiest of the five? I already got it.
Well, let's put it this way: if you were a head coach, if you're an available head coach, and those are the five jobs that are available to you in 2021, which job jumps out to you the most? To me, it's clear. There's one right answer. That's it. And I'm not saying this because we're on Houston Radio. I'm just saying it's when you've got a bona fide star, stud, elite quarterback in Deshaun Watson. That's it. That's it for me. And I disagree with your boy Jeff Diamond. I think not having that first and second round pick hurts, but I'm also the belief too though that I think you can get this thing turned around within a year. I do believe that. So I'm saying for me, the best job available is the Houston Texans job.
Well, for me, it's tough, but I kind of like Detroit. Detroit or Jacksonville?
What on God's name about Detroit?
They have resource.
What resource do they have in Detroit that you don't have in Houston besides two draft picks?
That's huge. Their defense is better. They just need discipline. They got good players on their defense. We can't say here in Houston that our players, I mean, we got a guy that came out of nowhere, did a great job at the linebacker position. We had two linebackers, three linebackers. They're no show for games. You got Merciless, you got Cunningham, up and down. Okay, he's a little better than others.
Yeah.
But there's guys that got paid that didn't.
I mean, Cunningham's been your best defensive player not named J.J. Watt.
And from J.J. Watt to there, it's a huge gap.
Oh, it's you're falling off a cliff.
Exactly.
That's how big the gap is.
So I think as a head coach coming in, it's something that I can build right now. I like Detroit. I think Detroit can do that.
Even more so than the Jaguars. See, I would say Detroit is probably the least appealing of all the jobs to me.
Yeah, because you got to go to Detroit.
Well, A, you got Detroit,
and you're up in Michigan, and
you're in Detroit, which sucks. And I just feel like with Detroit, it's the same tired situation there. I mean, at least with Jacksonville, I'm starting over with a new GM and a new head coach, which I get. Which I get it. Obviously, the Lions would be too. But at least with the Jaguars, I've got the number one pick, so I'm going to get Trevor Lawrence. I've got some pieces on offense, and I've got a young enough defense, and I'm in an AFC South where I feel like I can compete right away if I'm in a, you know, with the right combination.
That AFC South thing is appealing. That is huge. That's,
I mean, but here I guess I would question, I would answer you or excuse me, question you this. When you look at what's going on, but again, the NFC North, it's not like that's some sort of cakewalk.
No, not at all.
Because let's call it what it is. The Vikings are having a down year, all right? Because right. The Vikings have the talent to be a division. You know, there's no reason why the Colts, excuse me, the Vikings should be doing what the Colts are doing.
Right. But
although the Colts have a better defense and haven't been near as ravaged on defense as the Vikings have, and I'll put it to this. I think if you put Phillip Rivers on that Colts team, or excuse me, on that Vikings team, they might be in the playoffs.
Well, put almost anybody, really, Kirk Cousins.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I would take Phillip Rivers over Kirk Cousins at this stage.
Every day.
You know?
All day.
Which I don't know if you'd have said that at the end of last year.
Right. It would be up in the air last year. But this year, I think it's a franchise that is hungry and wants something to change, and that's where I can make the biggest change, I think.
He's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. 2 hours in the books. We got James waiting on. He wants to talk a little. He has been inspired by John Belmer's
absolutely
chicken sandwich talk. So this may take over the second half of the show. Maybe that's what 2021 is going to be all about, chicken sandwiches. It could be that kind of year. I'll tell you what, I'd take a chicken sandwich over the COVID. Okay.
All day.
I think
day.
We can all agree that we would all take chicken sandwiches over the COVID. He's John B. That's HT. I'm Freddie D. This is the HT show, filling in for the bench on ESPN
97.5. Seems to freeze mine at night. At night. Day and night. The lonely stoner seems to freeze mine at night. He's all alone. Some things will never change. Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.